Blog Talk Radio.
UGS Radio is not intended for anyone under the age of 18 years old. We reserve the right to say whatever the fuck we want to say because we believe in free speech. And if you do not believe in free speech,
get the fuck out of here, you stupid cocksucker.
We kill the men, we kill the women, we kill the children, we kill the babies, we kill the blind, we kill the crippled, we kill the crazy, we kill the faggots, we kill the lesbians. I said, God damn it, we kill them all.
And one night, a drawing set me on fire. That wicked fantasy was to see a child burned to death. And after that, I was just left in a garbage can to die.
Try taking some of these dangerous chemicals out of the food and environment and see if there's a turnaround. At least do something instead of ignoring it and increasing the danger to us.
I was a school teacher in my parish school, and I caught a priest molesting a child. They were going to allow this man to remain near the children, and sadly, he's still in a parish today.
There is absolutely no sexual overtone within this procedure, according to the traditional rabbis that perform it. Absolutely.
Sexual or not, you still had a baby's penis in your mouth. That's just...
Okay, have a pleasant day.
Welcome to the Church of Reality. Bitch, bitch.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Episode 130, Church Reality, only UGS Radio, UGSforLife.com. We have a special guest tonight. I'm going to bring him on in a minute. First, I'm going to tell you a little bit about him. He teaches Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu in the Bay Area. I'll have him tell you the location where you could actually go to learn self-defense yourself, and not only learn self-defense, but change your overall lifestyle as a whole, because he also helps people, basically become better people, so to speak. But his journey began long, long ago in Brazil. We're going to bring him on right now. This is Sergio Silva. How you doing, Sergio?
Nah, man, that's me you brought in.
And me too, Fred.
Yeah, he's on. You on with us, Sergio?
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing, Professor?
Hey, how you doing, Ken?
I'm good.
Yeah, we got Ken here. We got Mac, and we got Sergio. Now, what's the name? Silva. What's the name of your gym?
Yeah, the name of my gym is the Team Silva Martial Arts Academy. You know, I've been teaching Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu since 1994. Came from middle class in Brazil, tried to make happen just watching people get in fights and, you know, learning the hard way, and, you know, decided to start doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu over there. And then later on, tried to brought over to the United States to, you know, to see what I can do with it.
And you know, when you started, you know, was it something that you wanted to learn because more or less you liked it, or is it something you wanted to learn for self defense? Why did you get into Brazilian Jiu Jitsu?
Well, I started off by I was one of the youngest of all my brothers. We're in three, so you know that when you're the youngest, you're the body punch, you know, you're like somebody has, I want to punch them something, I'll punch you, that young brother. And I was two big brothers, and I grew up like with my uncle, that he was a judo professor at the time, so we didn't have much choice. Like every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, my big brother would go to judo, and I had to go along with him and just stay on the sidelines watching. Back in the day, just like, you know, I was, you know, six years younger than my brother. So in the time he was 16, I was 10. You know, so there was like in the mat. So when we were training, it was just, you know, there was no tap or anything like that. It was just like, you know, my brother is like, you know, there's no tap here, man. If you tap out, or I'm gonna keep going, and you're just gonna keep getting tapped out. You know, and just like by being a smaller kid, and a very pretty, I was wanting to like go in my way. Try to figure out ways that I can't go in my way, but, you know, by being a younger kid, it was hard, you know, and Brazil, everything was hard, man. You know, everything, like, nothing was, like, laid down, like the way it is here. You know, like you see kids nowadays here, like, they have everything laid down for them. They have a schedule. They have soccer practice at 3 o'clock, and they get out of practice. They go to gymnastics and have tutoring, like, at this time, at that time. You know, back then, it's just, you know, like, you're going to have to figure out your own thing. If you want to be a soccer player, you're going to have to catch the bus. You know, maybe I have to catch 2 buses to get to practice. You know, that was the same thing for jiu-jitsu. Jiu-jitsu, very expensive martial art. You know, it was very hard to get a hold of it. But when I started doing judo, my thing was, you know, like, I just want to learn a martial art that can defend myself. And I could defend myself against my brothers. But it was hard, man. You know, all my brothers knew the trick that I knew. So I had to come up with something new. Or, you know, I would keep getting beat up, not just in the house, but, you know, it was the survival mode that you walk around the streets that you got to have it. You know, you get mugged, or you have stories of people get mugged and get, you know, catch from behind or something. Like, man, there's guys that, you know, somebody just got shot another day in the corner, and you got to be careful. So it was really a survival mode, you know, kind of experience.
Wow.
And it pretty much enabled you to be able to teach you that you are today,
yeah,
going through those experiences. So here you are. Let's fast forward, you know, 2016. Here you are. Now you've trained with some of the best in the game. Who are some of the guys that you have trained with? And also, are you world champion yourself?
Yeah, so, you know, I trained, you know, back in the days that when I started doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, I just pretty much came to the survival mode to start practicing. You know, got hooked up with one of my friends that knew somebody that started practicing over there. Money got tight. You know, I had to find different ways to work and start teaching preschool judo to preschool to kids. That was my way to survive. You know, I was like 13 years old teaching little kids how to do judo. That gave me the little leverage to go in with the money and start paying academy and start training jiu-jitsu over there. You know, and I know when I came to the United States, man, like, my idea was not even to come here and just start teaching jiu-jitsu, you know. It was just like, come here, well, put some money on the side, and then just go back to Brazil, you know, and buy my own car or something like that didn't have when I left. You know, but when I got here, I saw the big picture. Like, I was a purple belt. Wasn't that many people purple belts here? You know, I was able to really stand up for myself. You know, we're just, man, jiu-jitsu is like music, man. Like, it's like math, you know, mathematics. You know, you try to figure out, like, is it this universal language, you know, that everybody, doesn't matter where you go, if you know jiu-jitsu, man, you know that language. It's like mechanics, you know? But if you know mechanics, you know, you go anywhere, you know, in the world, you know, just look in that car and you start, you know, how it works, you know, how it figure out. And then jiu-jitsu is the same thing. It's like a mechanics, universal language. You know, I can go anywhere in the world and just look. It's like, man, that guy doesn't know anything. Like, that guy is, you know, is full of crap right there. You know, it's like, yeah. I can see that. I can know that because of all these teachings that I come. But my city, man, take a look at the map. Is it Curitiba, south of Brazil? It's like this, like, really cool city, man, but really, really, like, you got to stand up for yourself. There is a lot of fighters, like, the best fighters in the world is coming from that little city, man. Like, Shogun Rua, Wanderlei Silva, Anderson Silva, like, all these guys, man, all these cats coming from the shoebox, they're savages there, man. They're like,
yeah,
you know, they're getting a lot of fights. You got to, you know, you're going to go out in a nightclub, you got to have to learn how to defend from a punch, man. You know, so really, when I come, my whole roots of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is like all the self-defense, like learn how to fight against somebody with a knife, somebody with a gun, somebody with a stick, with anything, because that was just sort of survival mode, you know. So very interesting, man, very interesting years that I can tell things that happened there, you know, that made me like, you know what, I'm going to have to learn, and one day when I learn this, man, I'm going to be a black belt, and I'm going to help others, like, just like, you know, came from nowhere.
You built it from your experiences, and you're able to help others. What about kids that get bullied? Ken was telling me that he knew of a kid that got bullied. He referred him to you guys. Do you help a lot of kids that get that get picked on? Because we're anti-bully.
Well, yeah, my experience about bullies, man, it was always the same. Like, I was the guy that was always in there, battlefront, like, helping kids, helping my friends that were getting bullied. And I would step it up and help out. And I got my ass kicked before because of that, too. So, like, it wasn't something that, like, that I don't have experience for. So, my idea just, like, affected, man. Like, you know, I've been in the place many times that I was, like, I was the last one to be chosen. You know, every time it was just like, you know, you're going to play soccer, you're the smallest kid, you're going to be the last one to be chosen. You know, you're going to play tag, you're going to be it. You know, it's just like, you're always like the weakest and then the smallest, and you need to try to survive. You know what I mean? It's just like, so for me, it's just coming from martial arts, man, I had to figure out ways to help when I started learning. It's like, I'm going to help not only just adults, because adults is like, everybody wants to learn jiu-jitsu now, but now how can I build confidence for kids? You know, so the best thing to do for me now, to start from scratch, is to see if I can do that to my kid. You know what I mean? If my kid can super pass this bully thing, and it's proved. You know what I mean? Like, and that's why I started teaching kids, and then I could see that all the kids that lost weight, kids that got in better shape, kids that got due to self-confidence, I knew it. But I didn't experience that. I didn't see it in daily life every day. Now that I have a kid, that I see it in all my kids, the self-confidence that he built, that he's never shy to ask any questions. Like, you go any place, like, oh, looking for volunteers, he's always raising his hand. He's not scared to do anything because of the martial art that he knows. You know what I mean? We go play soccer with bigger kids, man, there's no problem. He just can't hold himself. He can figure out, like, hey, I can... In this place here, like, I can handle myself, you know. And then he got in a couple of situations and the playing ground that he was able to fully use his jiu-jitsu when the kid that attacked him, like, 2 years older than him, and then he was able to hold himself down, you know. And that right there is a proof. Like, he did not hit the kid one time. He didn't punch the kid. He didn't kick the kid. He simply grappled the kid and took the kid's back, put both hooks in, and it was ready to choke the kid into a... I run that and separate the fight. You know, it's like, but yeah, I saw that happening, you know, like, it happened fast, and he was able to act fast. And then everything that he did it, he never thought about it. He just did it. His body just went like really like water, man. Just boom, instinctively, he went to the kid's back, and he started looking for the neck. You know, that every, all the training, all the games that we play, all the things that he does, like twice, three times a week that he trains, everything comes into play in those little 5 seconds that he had an interaction with that kid. That's like the third grade, like this mini kid. Everybody's scared of this kid. Now that kid has no problems with him. Not only that kid keeps informing my son just to help. Hey, can I play with you? Can I do the things with you? And my son, like, never asked that kid. He didn't want to fight that kid. That kid came and attacked him. You know, it's like now this kid wants to be with him. You know, just say, things like that you can't ask for. You know, there's a lot of things you gotta fight for. A lot of things you gotta not prove, but you gotta have to, you know, just, hey, I'm gonna have to earn this respect here. Sometimes that's the only way. You know what I mean? I can't tell how many times people come into my dojo and like, hey, I wanna fight you. I wanna fight. I just had a few months ago, this guy comes in, one of our dojos, say, I want to, you guys do UFC, you guys do a UFC fight, you know, and they find the next fight, like, man, we do all kind of fights. Like, I want to grapple, I want to spar. And I stopped doing this, like, maybe 8 years ago. But every time something like that happened, I'm like, all right, you know what, I'm putting on my uniform, man, you put yours, we're going to fight. And, like, my guys, like, look at me, like, what the hell, like, Serge is going to fight? He's like, man, like, I can put my lower belt. If my lower belt cannot pass that guy, I pass another belt. If he reaches me, if he can pass to all my guys, then he's gonna have to go to me. Man, and when I get to my first white belt, they've been training for 5 months, and he just totally neutralizes this guy without defeating one punch. It's like, they show me, like, man, I don't have time for you. You know what I mean? I said, this is what we're learning here is a science. You know what I mean? And the finest. You know, that's completely science, man. You know, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is a completely, like, divide part by part, step by step, in places that when you put somebody to the ground, it's like, you're defeating fire with water. You know, you're not fighting fire with fire. You're not punching, you're not kicking. You totally neutralize the guy. You know, put him in a position like he can't move to there get the submission hold.
We got our co-host, Skinny Man, on the line. How you doing, Skinny?
I'm doing good, everybody. How's everybody doing?
Good, great, man. What's up, Skinny?
What I find interesting about jiu-jitsu is I was seeing I think Ken showed me a video one time of this guy. He was in a wheelchair, older guy, and it almost seems like how once
he's
you
like
learn
90.
It, man, it's a valuable tool to use to defend yourself. And I saw an older gentleman doing jiu-jitsu with the teacher. It might have been you.
Okay.
There was a video, and I was just amazed at how the older gentleman was able to defend himself in the wheelchair using jiu-jitsu, defense.
Yeah, I seen that video, too.
Yeah.
He was blind.
He was tight. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, now the reality, man, like, nowadays is like there's no limits, you know. Like I teach people Down syndrome, people with autism, man. I teach people that I have an old cat there in one of the academies, 78 years old. I have little kids as young as 18 months. You know, everybody can do it. You know what I mean? That's the limits that we all put in ourselves. You know, like that's the beauty about it, man. We can do it, and I can see my life. You know, like not have that adrenaline rush, man. Wake up in the morning and think about it. Like, man, today, man, I want to choke this guy and that guy and this guy, man. This guy's gonna be tough because he already choked me once. You know, he called me once and I called him once, and just the adrenaline rush to wake up in the morning, in the middle of the day, man. Like in the morning, you wake up, like think about that. You know what I mean? You go to the academy, every single step you do. You go in the camp thinking, man, today I'm going to get up a fight. No, today is going to be fun. Today I'm going to practice fight. And it's like, just like that club, the movie, man, the Fight Club movie, you know, like they say, like, you only know who you truly are. You only know who you truly are when you get into yourself in a fight. You know, and that's true, man. You know, like well, how are you going to act in the fight? Are you going to panic? Are you going to be nervous? Are you going to be relaxed? Are you going to be laughing? Are you going to be happy? Well, how are you going to be in the fight? You know what I mean? He's just like,
for panic,
me, man,
you'll
it's
probably
like,
lose it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, for me, it's like, you know, when a kid wake up in the middle, like, and then I just like, think about it's Christmas, man. It's tomorrow's Christmas. I have my present. It's the same feeling that I have when I'm getting ready for a fight. You know what I mean? I love to get the fight. You know what I mean? I train every day. I go and get myself in a fight. And then my wife sometimes she asks me, like, "Hey, are you nervous?" And I'm like, "I'm happy, I'm excited, I can't wait to get in there and fight and do my best." You know, put everything that I got, everything that I train, everything that I learn, everything that I practice, and now I'm gonna fight the best of the best. You know what I mean? That's my daily routine. You know, I'm getting ready for a fight. I'm getting ready for a fight somebody or try to get somebody ready. You know, there was one of my, I'm getting more excited than them. You know what I mean? It's just like, I want my student to go there, use the tools that I use, I show him, and he's going to be able to go there and fight the best of the best. There's like, so now we're training ourselves to fight against people that train. So everybody's training. So when I see myself getting any altercation that people that don't train, that don't practice, don't put themselves in this type of reality that is my reality, is like a fish out of the water. It feels like, you know, you feel when you're in the combat with somebody in the street or an altercation that you're a coward, man. You're a coward by putting this person on the ground and hold this person down. But you think to yourself, man, these guys came in to punch me, man. These guys, he attacked me first. Like, I'm holding this guy down to help him to not get more hurt. You know, I'm not going to hurt him. I'm going to neutralize him. You know, and that's the beauty about it, man. I'm able to teach this not just to my student, but to police officers, to people, the security, man. I have bouncers that work with us, the people that, like, hey, bro, I was able to use that hold that you showed me, man. You know, nobody got hurt. I didn't punch the guy. I hold the guy down. I wait for the cops to come and arrest the guy. You know, that's the good news, man. Like, I had last year, I had this captain from the Alameda Police Department that came in and he's like, hey, Sergio, I need to talk to you. I was like, man, what happened, bro? Like, I'm already nervous, man. Cop calls us from the academy. Like, two cops come out. Like, Sergio needs to talk. Like, and he's my friend, but, like, something happened. And I was like, wow, what did my students do? What happened? So they came in. Do you remember that the one I was training with you, like, 3 years ago? They were trained, like, to do this move called Kimura. And you practice so many. I really liked that move. And then, like, yeah, bro, I was able to use that move, man. This guy, I was able to totally neutralize him. He tried to reach for my gun. I didn't keep the move. I probably saved his life right there. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I feel like that. You know what I mean? Just like, that's a huge feeling, man.
Yeah, he might have got that done if he didn't know those techniques.
Exactly. You know, he was able to use a technique that he learned from me, and then he used a surgery, like, smoking above my head. And exactly, the guy run the car. It's just a crazy story. But in the end, I was able to hold the guy on this move that you showed. So I just came to say thank you to you. And I'm like, dude, like, I'm stoked. That's awesome, man. I'm just really happy we're able to do this, you know. And that's what it's about, man. You know, like, you know, I went a few years ago. I went to this there's a friend of mine, Adiza, that he runs this really cool program called Hip Hop Chess Federation. And he talks about music, hip hop, jazz, and you know, every once in a while he does these seminars, you know, where he brings you know, chess masters and Brazilian jiu-jitsu, all martial arts black belts. He brings a bunch of martial arts black belts and chess masters and musicians, you know, rappers. You know, he brought this guy and that guy Riza, you know, one of the things. And exactly, man. You know, he brought up all these outskins. That was that guy, that Bob Fischer, that, what's his name, that guy that played Chaz in the movie. I forgot his name now, man. Let me see if I can find it here. But he brought these guys together, and it's just like, you know, one of the guys that came in is Chaz Master, and he was just like, you know, talk to me, talk to the public, and give a little speech and say, like, man, look at the Chaz. Look at the Chaz board, man. When you look at it, you know, you see the king surrounded by pieces that can do moves that he cannot do. You know, so that's huge. You know, like, so when I feel like a lot of times when these people that comes in the academy and they're like a little bit worried, they're scared, they're a little concerned about start training something new, exciting, like Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, you know, like, man, I'm going to get my ass kicked. It's not going to be good. If this guy looks at me or something like this. These guys that come in are surrounded by pieces that cannot, they can do things that you cannot do. But eventually, this guy is going to be able to do these moves that the bishop can do, that the knight can do. He's going to be able to understand better. But when he comes in there, man, he doesn't know anything. You know, when you put somebody in the front of the chest, and he does not know how to piece move, I mean, like, this guy already got, I don't know how to play chess. You know what I mean? Like, it's the same thing for jiu-jitsu, man. Like, if you don't know how to piece the move, man, if you don't know how to knight, how the bishop moves, man, that's going to be too easy for me. It's not going to be fun. I need you to learn how this moves, this pieces move, so we can have some fun on the mats. You know what I mean? So it's like, that, you know, that's reality. You know, that's the level that I am now. I'm trying to figure out how to, you know, like, the higher level of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, how to think about, you know, every single step that I do, but not the next step, but, like, between 8 to 12 steps ahead. You know, this is exactly the movie that I want to do. I want to wait for this guy to take this trap, and I'm going to be able to finish the fight by submission without hurting the guy. The idea is not to hurt. The idea is to stop the oxygen to go to the brain to get you to tap out. You know what I mean? So there's very uncomfortable feeling. You're about to get in the tunnel. You're allowed to see the flying horses and these unicorns around, and then you tap. You know, that's beauty right there, bro. Like, when you see things happening, that's the closest to death. There's the closest trust you can have somebody that is not your family member, that's not your blood. You know, there's this person that is going to, you know, you to fully trust your joints, that is going to stop when you tell him to stop. By signaling the tap, you hope that he's going to stop. You know he's going to stop. That's why you have so much trust to step in those mats and start practicing. You know, and that's the beauty, man. That we're living our daily lives in this monotonous, like this, you know, a lot of the guys go to work, come back to work. There's nothing really exciting happening. You know what I mean? Now is a chance that anybody can come there, You know, anybody can come. You can go in and then Jiu-Jitsu Academy. And then, you know, I don't even say just my Jiu-Jitsu Academy, man. Like, I want you to go in into a Jiu-Jitsu Academy, a place to exercise your body, get your mental, man, get yourself sane, you know, your sanity, you're stable, you know, that's where you relieve, you know, you finish, you know, you can't go to the gym, you can't replace this kind of mad time, you know, you can't, it's just, you know, we got lawyers, we got doctors, we got policemen, we got so many people that come together. When we step on the mats, man, we all one. We all the same. I don't care how big you are, how small you are, or what kind of job, how much money you got. When you get on those mats, man, that's everything. We all one, man. You know, that's the beauty.
Yeah. What if,
I had a question, though. Being in Brazil around those times, with the likes of Anderson Silva and Vanderlei, and then you see the videos on YouTube all the time. I watch all those fucking fights, like the bare knuckle Vale Tudo fight with Vanderlei just bleeding all over the place, knees and shit. And then you know, what was it like just being around all that back in those days? You have any good stories, like any fight stories?
Man, it was stuff there, man. You know, like when I started again, I was a teenager, man. I would start I started 13 years old, but back then it was already rivalry with capoeira and Muay Thai guys with shoebox. But then when we started getting better and we started more stabilized, and then people that were kids became like, you know, teachers, you know. Now I'm like 18 years old, you know, getting my purple belt, you know, like, you know, beating big dudes, man, like beating a lot of guys. And going out, you know, was an adventure, man. You're gonna have to be ready. You know, anything can happen anytime, man. And so, one of the stories that I would like to tell, like, I was teaching about 2 years in academy, and then I know I got this student. This guy's really rich. This kid, man. This kid's like, hey, start training with me. He really likes to train, but he could not get much, man. He would come there most of the time stoned and just come like. He was coming there smelling, man. I'm like, dude, you gotta come in like sober, but you can't come like you're just a beginner. You gotta stay still, man. Like, it's hard to teach you when you come like this. So he started getting better. 6-7 months training, man. We went to this party with him, and as soon as I got there, man, 11 o'clock, these two guys passed by, and they want to get in the fight. They see my ear, man. I've been training. My ear is red. It's swollen. Like. What did you train jiu-jitsu, man? I was like, what? You want to fight? I was like, oh, I just got in the place, man. There's a lot of girls here. I don't want to fight, dude. I know. That's what I thought. Yeah, keep walking. I was like, dude, like, man, I just taught like 18 classes this week. You know what I mean? This guy is smarter than me. He wants to fight me. And I'm like, 11:30. I just got on the club with my friend. And then I don't want to fight, but now, like, you're a fighter, man. You know, it's just like, you're all your blood goes up. You're like, maybe I could fight this guy real quick. And then, like, my buddy comes in, you know, this rich kid is like, he's my student. He likes to fight a lot. So he comes in, he's like, good stuff, Sergio. Man, this fight is awesome. It's a good stuff, man. This is your friend. Like, and then they got to look, what are you looking at, man? And then my buddy says, hey, bro, what? And then, suddenly start, man. Start arguing. Now it's gonna get in the fight. You know, it's like now security comes in. All right, you guys are gonna go in the back. There's a place to fight. The parking lot, 1-on-1. Go. They throw both guys out, man. And all his buddies are there. This guy's supposed to be like this badass, really good, like Muay Thai fighter. And they start getting my buddy, my student, and he grabbed by the neck. Start throwing knees. Start throwing elbows. Throw my buddy in the ground. Now my buddy's bleeding. Fighting, then suddenly I said, bro, I gotta take him down, grab his legs, take him down. The guy threw a knee, my student grabbed the guy's leg, took him down, and it just like, you know, it was all over, man. Got the side control to the mouth, and he started punching the guy, took his back, choked him out, started kicking the guy in the face, kicking the head. I'm like, okay, stop, sorry. Well, nobody could stop the guy, man. Now this guy is out, the ambulance comes in, we run out of there. Madhouse, man. But the moral of the story was that the next day on Monday, man, like as soon as we're in the academy at nighttime, like 8 guys come in, man. It's like, who is this guy? Like all these guys from Shoebox come in. Like, we want to talk with this guy that beat this guy, blah, blah, blah. So now it becomes like, you know, everybody wants to fight. You know what I mean? So every time you go somewhere, you got to look your back. You know, so that's how. When you go to the academy to train, we're not going to the academy to train in sport jiu-jitsu. We wasn't training to win a tournament there. to go out because we're going to have a party in the weekend, and we're going to make sure that we're not going to get beat up in the party. So let's train in case we fight these guys, you know. So it was crazy, man. It was just really a lot of anxiety, you know. Like, you see people get shot, people get stabbed. That back in the days, there was more fights, more one-on-one. Like, you and me, let's go fight outside. You and me, let's go outside, you know. And but nowadays, there's not as much that, you know what I mean? We grew up, like, in Brazil, like, there was people getting shot. It was not as much as now. And it was way more one-on-one fight, you know what I mean? It's just like, okay, this guy want to fight this guy. But that's the thing, you know. Like, if you get in the fight next day, they invade your academy, they step with the shoes on the mats, they start slapping your students, start fighting your students. So, like, man, you have a living, you have a life, you can't, you know, you grow up out of this, you know, you learn from the experience, a lot, you know, but the end of the day, you know, like, nowadays, all these guys, all these older guys, most of them got kids, got family, they're professors, they're teachers. Now is the time for that, now to prove everything's gone, right? So now, for me, is how I grow out of this. Like, I grew out, like, learning all through this experience, the bad or good, you know. I got in a lot of actually street fight altercations there, but like back in the days, like I say, it was just a survival. You know, you gotta have to survive. You gotta have to fight. You know what I mean? There's, sometimes there's no way out. Man. Today you're gonna have to fight, man. There's gonna be a fight, it's for sure. You know, you got sometimes in the club. There, it's like, okay, today's gonna be a fight. They're all here. There are about 10 of them. We have like about 5 of them of us. Be aware, you know, it's gonna go down, man. You know what I mean? Something's gonna happen. So, I'm glad that I'm out of it. This isn't happening anymore, you know. And I was able to learn from, you know, that kind of experience.
It sounds like you're doing a lot of good things now. So, I mean, all that experience, like you said, you learned a lot. We got a caller. You're on the line with Sergio Silva out of the Bay Area. How you doing?
Hey, my name is Alex, and I wanted to know, what are the requirements to join your class?
The requirements to join the class, you know, to come and wanted to learn. You know, everybody that wants to learn, come there. Everybody's welcome. You know, there's so much place. There's so much room for improvement every single direction. And, you know, like I say, you know, we just finished a huge we did a series of 4 workshops for kids with special needs. We have older folks training, senior BJJ. We have women's self-defense workshops happening every single month. You know, requirements, you just, you know, there's no requirements. Just come in and practice. You know, there's just want to learn.
That caller dropped. But, yeah, now what do you do now as far as your classes go? Like, do you have, you know, separation between men and women, age? I mean, how do you break everything down?
Yeah, so usually we have kids' classes. Kids' classes are young. We have family martial arts, as young as 18 months, all the way up with the parents. We have kids' martial arts, 5 years old to 11 years old. And then we have teens' anti-bullying program. Right now we have a co-ed classes, the men and women. The woman that we have right now, we have about 8 to 12 women that practice, and we try to always every 30 days to do a workshop for self-defense. You know, we see that they need it. A lot of the women that need to learn self-defense. You know what I mean? So I feel like a lot of the women, they're sometimes scared of self-defense. They think about a lot of the punching, kicking. And that they don't know a lot of the fundamentals of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. If a woman knows the fundamentals of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu in a street fight, only kind of altercation that a man comes in, grabs a woman, throws the woman on the ground, she will be able to use her legs to defend herself, you know. And that's one of the major principles that we learn, that we teach. And, you know, I mean, that everybody should be learn Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, you know. It's like that should be requirement in every single school in the United States, man. You know, people learn how to defend themselves. You know, and they got to learn how to defend themselves.
Also, what do you feel about certain academies leading off sort of thing, like, you know, not teaching like heel hooks or whatever, and, you know, the whole online boat boarding thing?
Man, like, you know, like I can say, I everything that I do, everything that I see, I try to see the positive. You know, every single thing. Like sometimes I see a little something bad experience happen with me, and I want to see what can be good out of this. You know what I mean? Like there's this book that I always read. You know, I have always like in Portuguese, Spanish, and English. It's called The Alchemist, and it was an amazing book, man. And it just it's supposed to, you know, we're supposed to transform any kind of matter into gold. You know, the idea about that is like, we, you know, everything experience that we have, you know, you got to be able to transform. You know what I mean? So it's like, the way you're going to transform it is, you know, it's like how much improvement can you do by having like, this bad experience? How much can take you down from that bad experience? And like I remember that, you know, just change a little bit subject, that I got this ticket a long time ago, and then like I was in the park, I was in the street, and then I got a ticket from this lady. I saw this lady was about to get somebody a ticket, and I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna put a quarter in this lady's meter. You know, I had a quarter in my pocket, so I put it. So the later meter, she's, you know, she was about to give a ticket, she saw I put in the quarter, she's just, oh, there's this car. And I got inside the store, and she just ran into the store with me, and she was like, hey, is that was your car? And I was like, no, it's my friend's car. So that's illegal. You got to go there. You know, that car's going to get a ticket. Like, how are you going to get a ticket if you have a time in the meter? She's like, no, it's illegal. Man, I didn't know that. You know, I didn't even know the person that was there getting a ticket. I know it sucks to go somewhere and get a ticket and come back. I had some quarters, and I had to put it there. It's just, it just astonished me, man, like, you know, like, how as a society, how can we provide help to each other? How can we, like, become that alchemy? I know, see the alchemy everywhere you go, you know what I mean? Transform things, you know, the sadness to happiness, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's important, you know what I'm saying? You got a service in the community that's helping people. You know, it's, people got to understand it's not just a business. You actually help people. I saw a video of a gentleman who's trying to lose weight, and you were there motivating him. I could tell that was just much more than a job for you. You take that on.
Oh, yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah. Personal, you know, thing. You know, how important is you to help people like that?
Right, right. It's, man, like, you know, like, I always think, you know, like, we all get all shit going on. You know, everybody, like, we all got our demons, man. Like, we all have something that we fight, you know, like, against. You know, we're all addicted to something. You know, there's some sort of addiction in our daily lives. You know what I mean? There's always that. You know, like, sometimes, I ask this guy, you know, it's like, hey, man, like, you know, I ask another guy, like, man, it's like, you know, I think I'm worried about people going to be looking at me. You know, they're looking what's going on with me or what's happening with me. I was like, dude, people doesn't have time. Like, bro, I'm in the gym sometimes, and I can think to myself, like, dude, like, I gotta, all these bills to pay, like, all this stuff I gotta do after this. Like, I have so many problems that I don't have time to think about the other people's problems, you know? So we live in this daily society, daily life that everybody thinks about themselves, you know what I mean? That nobody thinks about, like, if this guy is going through some alcohol problem, or this other guy needs help with his family, or, you know, like, it's a brutal world out there, man. Like, nobody cares. You know, like, I done this thing that I went this guy, you know, I mean, I really like it, you know, to be able to do this, you know, because there's times that I need help, you know, with nobody there to help me out. You know, so I want to be able to provide help and to people that need help. You know, if I see somebody, like, you need help, I want to go, hey, you need help? You know, people don't do that anymore. It's a very, very scary world we live in nowadays. Well, this guy is, he comes in the academy, just sitting there, and I'm like, hey, how can I help you? And the guy's like, oh, I come here to become a brother. He's like, why are you not training? He's like, look at me. I'm looking, dude. He's like, look at me again. He's like, I'm looking. He's like, I'm too big. He's like, there's no such thing. You should be training. He's like, I want to see you tomorrow here. He's like, the guy was stunned. He's like, bro, I can't believe somebody talked to me. He's like, I can't believe somebody was giving me to invite me to something. You know what I mean? It's like, it has been a long time somebody don't invite me for something. You know, so it's like, I know we need to come out of there more. We need to do this as a team, not just myself, but I want everybody to be able to do this. You know what I mean? It's like, somebody needs a job, dude, don't help the guy without even the guy knowing you help him. You know what I mean? Try to figure out a way, because that law of cycle that everybody help each other, we got to bring that back. You know what I mean? Just, yeah. We should not be struggling. Yeah. You know, nobody should be struggling. You know, nobody should be have a problem to make things happen. We can make things happen. You know, and that's reality. Man, bro, like, I have this thing, dude, like, this guy come to me and say, you know what, bro, I have been throwing these tournaments in here in the area, bro, since 2009, okay? So every year I would throw about 4 or 5 tournaments a year, and we put all, I'll put all my team to help out. You know, all come together, the team, and then we all do this, man. Like, and that was 2009, 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013. I went to this wedding, man. And then I was there at this guy's wedding. He was a jiu-jitsu fighter. And he's there. And this guy sit down at the table. This guy's kind of drunk. He has, like, a family. He has 2 kids with him. He's, like, talking to me. Hey, man. Hey, Sergio. I need to talk to you about something. I had never met this guy. I don't remember meeting this guy. So this guy just sitting at the table with me and started talking. He's like, man, the thing I win in my life, it was a tournament that you put in. You did a tournament, and I won. I fought 2 times, and I went there and went, and I won that tournament. Bro, I never win anything in my entire life. I had 2 kids. The only thing I win in my life was I had my 2 kids. That's it. You provide something to me that I went there and won. I was like, dude, like I just did the show there, help you to be the show, because the idea is to promote the art. Is to get more people to see that they can do it. They can do it. They can do it and go there, keep trying, fighting to the win, and they will win. But if you don't try it, you're not going to win. It's like playing the lotto, bro. It's like get beat by a shark. You know, the only way to get beat by a shark is by going in the water. You know, if you don't go in the water, bro, you're not going to get beat by a shark. You know what I mean? It's like if you don't try, bro, if you don't go and try it, and don't go and try hard, you're not going to get it because you're not trying. You know, what I don't want people to say, I cannot do it. I want to see, it's like, man, I tried to do it, and I could not do it, but I'm going to keep trying. And that's the major message that we need to have it, dude. Like, it's like, you're screwing, bro. You're screwing until you see the other side, bro. You know, you got to keep screwing. I come here, bro, in my space with no English, man. I cannot talk with anybody. I cannot do anything. You know, I had $600 in my pocket. I'm trying to make a living, do something, washing cars. You know, bartender, bar back, do whatever I could do to make happen, bro. I was even, you know, one day, like, used to transport dead bodies, you know, for a living. You know, I didn't have a job. You know, now I tried to find a job. That's a job that appears to be. So I kept the dream, man. The dream I want, you know, I want, that's what I want. You know, I want this. I want this. And how bad do I want this, bro? How bad that I want this? I wanted this really bad. I want to be good at it. And I want to help others to be good at it. You know, just say, not just about me, it's about we. We're going to come out there and help each other, and we can really good at this, man. You know, so my dream was not only me. If I become a world champion, man, that's because, you know, I do the hard work and make it happen. But when a student of mine becomes a world champion, or a student of mine become a national champion, that's what it's about. You know what I mean? Like, that's like that person went out there, did his best, the things that he learned from us, from our team, you know. So now that just proves right there, you know what I mean? Like hard work, practice, and hard work. It's like those 2 things come combined with anything, right? Music, people that try to make music, you got to do a lot of hard work, man. You know, I watched that movie Straight Outta Compton another day, and it's just like, bro, like, you see Dr. Dre is just like, dude, he wanted that, dude. He wants so bad that he never stops what he wants. And I was like, you know, one day I was in the club, man, and I was like, no, it's so packed, so many people there. And I look just behind, oh, like, I see this guy, man, I think I know this guy. Oh, hey, Anderson, what's up, man? And that was like 1990, maybe 7 or 96 or something, man. I was like, I saw Anderson, bro. Hey, I haven't seen you anywhere, bro. How's it going? I'd be like, what's going on? I was like, oh, man, I'm living in this little town called Paranaguá. It's at this port, like, this really, like, this little tiny, light, little city, you know? And I'm leaving right now over there, and I'm teaching this little academy, you know, and I have about 20 students that learn Muay Thai and teaching that. But I'm just here in Curitiba, just hanging out for the weekend, man, you know, trying to meet some girls, blah, blah. Okay, cool, man. And, you know, see it, bro, like, the guy came from nowhere, had no money, bro, poor family, he's a really tough family, man, and the guy never stopped to fight for his dreams, man, you know what I mean? He's like, I want this, bro, I'm going to become the best in the world, I'm going to prove that I'm going to be the best. So it's like, you know, it is that personal personal question that we need to ask every day. You know, what do we really want? You know, what do you want? You know, it helps a lot, man.
Hey, Sergio, what type of training besides practice? Is there a lot of cardio involved? Is there a lot of meditation involved before, you know, preparing to fight?
Yeah, so, you know, I have been using a lot of the yoga that I learned before. So, it's like the yoga, the meditation, and the discipline, you know, the discipline to really, again, really want that kind of lifestyle. You know, if you have the discipline, bro, if you know, you can do it. You know, so it's like for me, it's just like involve everything. Involve, you know, my yoga practice that I do, my meditation that I do, my training, my daily training that I do. The practice, over practice. Man, I have a heartburn. What am I gonna do today?
Yeah.
I'm gonna go practice. There's no question in my daily life. Like, what am I gonna do tomorrow? I have four classes I'm going to be on the mat teaching. That's my job, yes. But there's two classes that I'm going to be training. So that I don't have to ask this question. There's nobody call me in my cell phone at 7 p.m. because no, I'm on the mat. If you're going to call the academy. You know, so the discipline of really training. Keep persistence. Because it's tough, man. You know, like, I don't have to tell you, man, like, how many times I'd be frustrated, you know, when I was training that I could not figure out a move. I could not figure out something. You know, I had to work really, really hard to be the place that I am now. You know, it was not easy for me. I did not have natural ability to do this. You know what I mean? I had to really put my ass to work. You know what I mean? I had to do that. You know, there's no question about it. You know, like, mom and dad did not have, you know, the possibility to take me to practice. You know, you want to go to practice, man? You know, take your bike and go. Take your belt and go. We don't care. We don't care you to have this dream to become a fighter, become a teacher. We don't believe in this. You know, if you want to go to school, learn school. So I go to school and go to work and go to practice.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a working progress. So it's like, you know, that's the amount of work that we all gotta do. You know, just not just for jiu-jitsu, but for yoga, for music, for everything. You know.
Yeah, definitely.
That's right.
It gave me a sense of having something to do again, like going to school, having a certain responsibility throughout the day, be excited about it. You know, I love art. Our art's great, but a certain part of me burnt out about it. I don't have that excitement to learn anything really new in it because I think I'm good enough with what I do. But doing this, you know, I have shit I want to learn now, so I got notebooks and all kind of, like, going to school again. So it's always that, too. It's fantastic.
Yeah, definitely been a good change for you in the positive. What about, you know, Ken was telling us that you work with mentally challenged people. I respect that. You know, say, what kind of a challenge does that present for you? You know, to do that in the community.
Well, I had a really interesting job. You know, when I came to California, I was working with this group called Seneca Center, and it was a very challenging job that I had. You know, I was a brown belt at the time, and it was just, I was trying to become black belt. I was working really hard. You know, I was training every day. I was just practicing, fighting. Now I was a brown belt from Ralph Gracie. You know, this, like, badass motherfucker, man. This guy is, like, super, super tough, man. It's like, you come in the academy, just like, I want to beat everybody. And he'll come in and beat everybody. You know, just like, I want to be a little hard, everybody. You know, they would come in, I want to punch everybody in the nose. You know, you punch everybody in the nose. It was really, really tough. You know what I mean? Just, I grew up, you know, in that environment of, you know, man, this is hurt, my legs hurt, like, no, nobody's going to come bitch to you, bro. You're going to have to go inside the mat, just don't cry too loud, dude, we're training here, you know what I mean? Just, you know, suck it up, put a tape on top of it, and train, dude, go practice, you know, it's just, that's what I grew up with, you know, that's what I learned, you know, I start figure out these little things that I see wrong or not according to my valuables or my values, you know. So it's like, I'm gonna one day take everything that I see that's not cool, or I don't think that is is available for my values, and I'm going to put this in the perspective One Academy. This is going to be the place that I'm going to help people to achieve their best goals. You know, I want to help everybody to become a better them. You know, you want to come there to become a better you. You know, that's what I want. You know, I wanted to make everybody welcome and become to achieve the best level of their lives. You know, that's the main goal.
And that's, you know, like I said, much respect, Sergio. We have another caller. This one's from the Bay, 510. How you doing? You're on live right now with Sergio Silva. Okay. Apparently, maybe they don't want to talk. But yeah, that's hella respectable, Sergio. If people want to,
I think they're there. You hear that?
Go to your gym. Where are you located? Where are you located, Sergio? If people want to go to your gym,
we have three locations. We have three locations right now. We have one in Alameda, 1502 Park Street. That we just opened there. We have another location, Hayward, 21463 Full Hill Boulevard. And then we have another location in El Cerrito, right next to Berkeley. And it's, you know, the best place, you know, you can check our website, the teamsilvabjj.com. You can, you know, check in the YouTube videos that we have out there. You know, we got information, a lot of information that you can catch there. Just type Sergio Silva BJJ, one of those search engines. You can see a lot of the stuff that comes from our academy.
Definitely. Yeah, I imagine you have videos on.
Yeah. What's that?
Oh, sorry, go ahead, Ken.
I said the best thing to do is really just to stop on by. You know, go online, get edited,
exactly.
Just check
you know,
it out.
You know what? But you know, it's really, really, really quick. I forgot about to say this. When I was working this place in Seneca Center, it was a very interesting place, man. I'll tell you why. And it was really a place that I got to know about everything that I was looking and learning about The Alchemist, the book, you know. So I was there working, man, and as I remember, you know, it wasn't the kids that really mean, dude. The kids that, like, you know, they did armed robbery and then, like, end up in the juvenile hall, and in the juvenile hall, they cannot take them anymore, so they take them to this program. This program is the maximum level. So this kid is pretty much in jail, man. You know, they can't get out. They can't do this. They can't do that. They have, like, all these places. So I was working there as an overnight counselor, you know. So I was there, man, and I remember many times, and then I see, this, like, all these therapists that come in, all these people, all this knowledge, you know. They come there, talk with the kids, and you know, most of these kids are black, man. Afro-Americans there, you know, they're like, but the, most of the kids, there were some Mexican kids. That's like, so they would come in, like, a bunch of the Asian counselors come in, it's like, come in the early morning, they don't know what's going on, they give these kids timeouts. These kids are crazy, man. They're like, they're inside these little rooms, man. They want to go outside, play football, exercise, do something, you know. And I was the one that, like, come in to go, like, man, listen, bro, you got to, you know, you can't fuck up, shit it up. You know, you got to, you know, get keep your life straight. You got to do everything right. You got to surround yourself with successful people. You got to make sure you understand that. You got to surround yourself with successful people, people that know more than you, people that is better than you, is smarter than you, people that is richer than you, people that is, you know, they have more advantage than you. That's something that you can't be jealous about these people, bro. You can't be angry about them because they got more than you. You gotta be their friends. You gotta be their help. You gotta help them to achieve more. Because if you help these guys achieving more, you gonna achieve more, bro. It's a cycle, man. It works that way. It doesn't matter. So it's like, you know, for me to work in that place was huge. But I remember all these counselors come in. You give a counselor, and one day, dude, like, this guy comes in and this lady comes in, this, like, the therapist comes in and gives a, you know, you have a time out this guy without talking or checking with me or anything. So this kid walks out, bro, picks up the phone, and he starts dialing his cousin. Like, I'm going to call my cousin, man. I'm going to fucking shit up here. This is it. I'm like, oh, yeah, I've been talking to this kid for, like, 4 hours, man, during the night. I already restrained this kid once. Man, like, ah, God, dude. So I'll go behind the kid, man. He's like, listen, man, you're going to have to go time out now, bro. Like, you know, I'm sorry. Like, fuck that, sir. Fuck that. And he grabs the phone, ripped the phone off, and he hit the girl, man, in the head. Balls. And as soon as he did that, I took him down real quick. And, you know, I have the way that I can take somebody down quick without hurt the person. I can do, like, not only that, but with the help of other people, that become easier for me, you know. So by doing that, like, I really could direct, like, hey, bro, grab the arm, grab it, be careful with his wrist, be careful with his arm. Bro, restrain the kid for 3 hours, bro. Every single console is dripping sweat. And this kid is just, like, wants to fight everybody, bro. Like, it just doesn't matter. Like, my point is that the jiu-jitsu was able to not just help me, but help so many other people around. And then this kid, too. You know, like, for me, it's like, I had at the point that I was having so much confrontation with this kid, and it got so much better as while I was working there. You know, like, one time I was going out, and it was, like, 10 o'clock at night. It was my day off. And I'm like 10 o'clock, and then this major, like, supervisor calls, Sergio, hey, how you doing, man? I was like, I'm doing okay. What's up? And he's like, dude, are you busy right now? I was like, I'm about to go out. And he's like, could you come over quick a little bit? Like, just for like 10 minutes. I was like, why? Bro, this kid, bro, man, this kid is in restraint, bro, hold. He needs, you know, like, he needs help, bro. He's, you know, we can't restrain this kid. We all have whole staff for females, and we need to restrain this kid to the quarter room. All right, I'll be right there, bro. So I go there. I get there. It's just like, as soon as I tell everybody get out. And the surgery crazy. Everybody get out. Let me get him. Let me talk to him. And the kid sees me, and like, he just stands up. Look at this. This is how we restrain someone. The guy doesn't make any kind of move. Doesn't anything. Because he already saw me restrain so many bigger kids than him, then he knew I could restrain him, no problem. So he just walked to the choir room. So I know I didn't do anything. And the guy looked at me like, how did you do that, man? I was like, dude, like,
ahead of time.
I guess it's jiu-jitsu, man. It's jiu-jitsu, bro. You know, like, that's things that you cannot ask for. Is one of them is respect. You know, you got to have act with your words or with your actions. You know, that's the only way to get respect. By anything. You know, if you guys play music, if you guys do things, bro, you can't do shit. You can't have to put on the paper, bro. Put it down, bro. Put it down. If you can't do something, put it down, man. Show that you can do it, man. You know what I mean? It's just, and that's jiu-jitsu, man. Jiu-jitsu is like that, too, bro. Like, you can't tap, so, you know, you're tough. Okay, come over the mat. Let's see what you got. You know what I mean? Anybody can come over and tell things and talk loud. I want to see in the mat and do what you got, man. You know, you can come there with a boxing glove, with a punch glove, whatever. Punch me as much as you want. You know, I mean, you're going to be swimming through a dark hole, and the sun is going to be so deep in, dude, and it's not going to be able to swim back. You know, and that's it. You know, that's the jiu-jitsu, bro, is when the BS finish, you know, like, there's no BS, there's pure, and, you know, reality, we go there, we fight every day, we love to fight, and life is good, man. You know, life with no fighting is not fun. So that's what we do every day, you know, and that's, and everything you see, man, you know, everything is a fight struggle, is a chess piece moved, is learn how to step ahead. If you think about it, it's just a universal language for everything, you know what I mean? It's just, jiu-jitsu makes you be able to fight or be calm to the struggle. If you're panic, you'll be done. If you panic, you'll be kicked out of your apartment. You know, have the money for rent. Don't panic, brother. Don't panic, dude. Just be cool. Go find a way, you know. But that's what jiu-jitsu gives me, man. I'm thankful for everything jiu-jitsu gave to me. To be where I am now wasn't easy. Wasn't overnight. I had to work hard for it. But now is, you know, the living proof. You know, I'm really happy that a lot of people that I already graduated as a black belt, that learn Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, people that are like, sir, like, I can't live my life without this anymore. You know, give enough tools for them to use Jiu-Jitsu for their lives, for their court hearing, you know, their lawyers or their, you know, whatever, businessman, business people, they're, you know, thankful for it. You know, sir, thank you so much, man. That's when I come in. Here, I see sanity, bro. Like, I was driving myself crazy. I came in the academy, now I'm relieved. I can go home and take a nap and sleep, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, sounds like definitely a stress reliever, too.
Exactly. Big one, man. Big.
Yeah, well, Sergio, I'll tell you what. I really appreciate you coming on the show tonight. Give everybody your website again if they want to check you out, your location.
Yeah, definitely. My location, we got three locations, one in Alameda, Hayward, and El Cerrito. We got 1502 Park Street, Alameda, 21463 Foothill Boulevard. and then this El Cerrito Martial Arts Academy in El Cerrito. You can check our website, TeamSilvaBJJ.com. Again, it's TeamSilvaBJJ.com. You know, any kind of information, that any guy that come here from the show, we give you 2 weeks free trial. Anybody come here, just tell about, hey, I heard you on the show. You got 2 weeks of free trial. Come try it out, training with us. You know how to fight, bro.
Oh, that's what's up.
Yeah,
2 weeks
cool.
ago.
Got you a deal. Got you a deal. If you tune in, you
get it all.
Go sign up. Yeah, get some.
Just come through, bro. Just come through. We want to help save lives, bro. We want to help get people in shape, get people back in their bodies, man. Learn something mystic, something exotic, something straight from Brazil, man, that, you know, you can't find that many places. You know, you can come over here, get a little bit of the culture, learn Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and who knows, man, maybe save your life, maybe save your loved ones, somebody, you know, something. You know, definitely want to help out.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, thanks again for coming on the show, Sergio.
Yeah.
Love to have you on again in the future. Do you have any, before you go, do you have any tournaments coming up?
Yeah, we have a Jiu-Jitsu by the Bay tournament coming up in the end of the beginning of March. We have, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu self-defense courses happening in February as well. If you take a look at the website for dates. We do two tournaments a year. We do Jiu-Jitsu by the Bay, which is four tournaments of Jiu-Jitsu by the Bay. One is Bay Area Jiu-Jitsu Championships with a whole Bay Area academies that come together and fight for the final championship. So everybody's welcome. Everybody's welcome to come over, try out a class, come over, meet our guys, meet our people, meet our team, huge team. We have a lot of black belts inside. Professor Manny, Professor Matty Duya, Professor Cody Wilson, Professor Jason Pirata. Pirata is a multiple times national champion, the world champion. Guys that come from scratch, man, they just come in, hey, I want to learn this, man. Like, give me the tools that I need, you know, and now they're learned, man. Now they're already hooked, you know, they're lights right there. You know, that's what's up, you know. It's like huge church, you know, it's a huge people helping each other to become better themselves, you know, like, get yourself in shape, learn something magical, and get yourself sane. You know, that's what's up.
Yeah,
definitely, for sure.
Definitely. It's definitely working for Cam.
Thanks so much for having me, too, guys.
It's an improvement for him.
For sure.
Appreciate
yeah.
you coming, man.
Yeah, thanks for showing up, Sergio. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thanks
much
so much, guys.
You take care of yourself. There we have it, folks, episode 130. That was Sergio Silva. Make sure to check him out. Where's his location again, Six? Alameda? Bay Area?
Right on Parsons. Folks, want to go look at it, go to TeamSilvaBJJ.com. Also, if you want to look at the tournament info, you also have Facebook pages. All you got to do is go to Facebook and search it up. Jiu-Jitsu by the Bay and Bay Area Jiu-Jitsu Championships. I believe they both have pages. Just check them out. All kinds of pictures and videos there, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. You know, we had a heck of a show tonight. We learned a lot, you know, and it was good to have him on the show. Next week, I'm not sure what we're going to do, but definitely tune in. We're probably going to go live again at 10 p.m. Central.
New time,
the X-Files is over. I'm missing the X-Files. Sorry. But we'll be live at 10 p.m. Everything else will be 9 p.m. This week we got Snug Grim on Thursday on the Murder Master Music Show. And then Saturday, KFYB, of course, 9 p.m. Central. And always go to UJSLive.com.
Yep.
We are
sound like
the
X-Files on the phone right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It probably is. It probably is. Well, you know, we
never know.
The bad connection. Blog Talk, unfortunately.
You pay for it.
It went pretty smooth tonight, though.
You know, blogtalk.com is, you know how they are.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Well, we're out of here. We'll see you guys next week, UGSForLife.com. And thanks to the callers for calling in, too.
Yeah.
Appreciate you.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.